Hello there, and welcome to my most authentic life. Thank you for returning. I'm your host, Fede Vargas. This podcast is designed to inspire you and empower you to create the life that you want to live. And today's guest is doing just that. In this episode, we're connecting with GP, an adventure traveler that left behind a stressful job in business operations during the height of the pandemic, working for tech companies in the San Francisco area, and has since been traveling the world for over a year and a half now. I met GP in Playa del Carmen during my personal growth year of 2021, a year that brought together many unique personalities from all over the world to this coastal beach town on Mexico's Riviera Maya. At a time when it seemed like the planet was at a standstill, life here was thriving. GP was one of the early arrivals to the Playa community. And during this time, during this height of the pandemic, the Playa community became a hub for those searching for a more fulfilling way to live. 2021 was a year that opened my mind to new ways of thinking, new ways of living, new ways of doing, and new ways of being. And my mission with this podcast is to share my experiences and to spotlight stories of people like GP that are designing their lives around freedom and that are daring to create a life without regrets. All with the hope to inspire you to find your way to your most authentic life as well. This is going to be a two-part interview. In today's episode, we offer advice on how you can downsize your life and demystify the idea that this nomadic, freedom-based lifestyle is out of reach. And in the second part, we'll focus on GP's experience completing one of the most famous walks in the world, El Camino de Santiago, also known as the Way of St. James. We recorded this interview back in September when I was back in Canada and recorded a bulk of these interviews, and GP was fresh off the heels of a half marathon in Budapest. So this is our interview with adventure traveler GP. Hey GP, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being part of this.
Yeah, thank you, Fede. Thanks for inviting me. Good to see you and good to hear from you. It's been a while.
I know it's been a while and it's amazing how time flies. And I want to get started with where in the world are you?
So I am in Vienna in Austria right now. I got here yesterday and we're going through kind of a whirlwind tour. I was in Budapest yesterday, moved to Bratislava, and then came to Vienna. So we've been traveling pretty fast, but hitting up a lot of the, Central European hotspots pretty quick. And speaking of the Playa community, I'm here with about 8 other people that I met in Playa. So it's been a good old reunion. We were in Budapest a few days ago, ran a race with a few people that I met in Playa. And we've just been taking the train and traveling to different capitals in Europe.
That's amazing. Yeah, so that, yes, a bunch of you just did the half marathon in Budapest, right?
Yep. We were thinking of doing a race in Europe at some point. And this all goes back to Playa again. We have a little run club in Playa that we call the Hobby Joggers. And we would run 2 or 3 times a week. And we decided to have a reunion in Europe at some point and run a race. And it all worked out in the sense that we were going to be in Budapest. There was a race here. It was a half marathon, so it wasn't a huge commitment of training. And it's just a cool city to meet everyone else. So it all worked out and we all ended up being in Budapest. In fact, one of her friends got her personal best in a half marathon, even though she hadn't trained as much. So yeah, it was great.
And how awesome that this experience that you just had running this half marathon was born from this Playa group, the Hobby Joggers. What was that all about?
Yep, the PDC, Playa del Carmen Hobby Joggers, was the name of the group. It was something we started doing because we would eat a lot of tacos and, have a lot of drinks. So we were like, we should probably balance this by running or doing something active. And so started running. And then Fede, as you know, you started the active group which we incorporated into our exercise routine. So we'd have yoga and track workouts and things like that.
Yeah. And that's the beauty about Playa. There is a group for all interests that brings community together, and it's really part of the social fabric. And just to set it up, We all met there during the height of the pandemic. Mexico was one of the few places in the world that was open, and fate and circumstances brought a group of people from so many different walks of life together. And that's where we all met. So GP, tell us, take us back to that period in time. What brought you to Playa del Carmen, first of all, and what was the experience like for you?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2020, I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'd been there for about 8 or 9 years. I was working a pretty stressful job. I used to work in operations, for business operations for tech companies. Pretty stressful job. And then the pandemic hit, everything closed down, could work remote, work from anywhere you wanted. A lot of my friends started leaving the city. And as most people know, the San Francisco area is very expensive. So I could either pay, you know, $2,500 in rent in San Francisco or move somewhere cheaper and more beautiful and pay like $500 to $700 in rent. So I'm not a beach person. I thought I'd move to, or I thought I'd visit Mexico and Playa del Carmen because I've been there before. Thought I'd go for 3 weeks. Ended up staying for 4 months, mainly because of the community there. There were a lot of people that I vibed with. We had a lot of things in common. Everyone was also up for everything. It wasn't just like, we have to go drinking or we have to go partying. It was like, let's go eat some tacos or let's go, you know, go for a run. So I met a lot of people that were like me, that were up for a lot of things, and just stayed there for a while and then stayed in different parts of Mexico. And I've been traveling since.
That's awesome. So yeah, you hit on a key word there, community. If you could elaborate more about what was the community like and what was that experience of community like for you in Playa?
Yeah. So instead of describing it, I'll give you an example. So my second week in Playa, I'm a foodie. I love eating. So I set out a Facebook post on a group saying, hey, what are the best taco spots in Playa and or who wants to join me? And about 5 people said they'll join me. So we meet up. There's about 5 of us. We go on a taco walk, so to say. We go to like 5 different places, eat tacos, have fun. And everyone's like, we should do this again. So I post again on Facebook. And then the next time, 10 people show up. And then 20. And then 40. And since then, I've left Playa. But we still have a taco walk club. That's about like 250 people right now. And the last time I was in Playa was back in January, and about 75 people were at the taco walk, which was insane. And just as this is an example, because all you have to do is post something in a group or a Facebook community or something, and a lot of people are down to try new things and join you. It's hard to be by yourself. Like, you can always find friends that are people that do the same things that you want to do, and just form a group.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was my favorite thing.
Sorry, say that again?
And that was my favorite thing. Like, you can literally be any personality you want, but still find people that are similar to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like, I think it's impossible to kind of feel alone in Playa. And this taco group is probably one of your biggest legacies. And at the time, played such an important part in fostering a sense of community and forging these awesome friendships. Now people come to Playa and everybody wants to do the taco crawl.
Yeah, it's almost an institution now. Like, what happens on Fridays? Oh, it's taco walk nights on Fridays.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so fun. It's so fun. And you'd be amazed about how many different places, little taco joints and street food locations you can find in a small town, in a small beach town like Playa.
And I feel like it's good for the Playa community as well. These are like small taco places that a lot of people go to and hopefully go back again and again, even without a taco walk. And hopefully it helps the economy of a lot of these people that were affected by the pandemic.
Yes, for sure. And right now there is a debate going on in Mexico about the influx of expats and nomads that are driving up the cost of living for local Mexicans. And that's a debate for an entirely different episode. But definitely, if we were to do a pro and con assessment, one huge one is that it's been very good for the economy. It's a huge benefit.
Yep, I agreed. Completely agree.
You mentioned something about how you were thinking, I think you said 3 weeks that you were thinking of going there. For me, it was 4 weeks. And now actually, you know, for those that have been listening to the podcast, I still live in Playa del Carmen. We're recording this interview in Toronto. I've come back to my hometown of Toronto to visit family and friends. But 4 weeks for me turned into my permanent home now. So that's the impact.
Yep, and it's agreed. And it's like, that's what everyone else, like, there's so many people that are similar that been for a month or something and are still there and go back again and again.
Yeah, totally. And I think the other thing you hit on was, which is interesting with this post-pandemic lifestyle, is cost of living. You know, you kind of hit on some of the costs of what your life was like in San Francisco. And so take us through the idea of downsizing, because now I look at my life before the pandemic and at what it is now, I can do so much more with way less.
For sure. So again, as I was saying, I was living in San Francisco. I was in the same apartment for about 8 years, maybe probably because of rent control, but also because I was just getting, it was convenient and I was just lazy to move. But I had an apartment, the same apartment, and kept gathering more and more things over 8 or 9 years. And when I decided to move to Mexico, I had to either sell everything or donate everything. But I realized how much stuff I had that I did not need. And since then, I've been traveling. After I left Mexico in, I would say, June of 2021. So it's been almost a year and a half of nonstop traveling. And my life basically fits in a big backpack. So as you said, you can do a lot with a lot less.
Yes, yes. And that takes us into another theme for this episode, which is the idea of life design and anchoring your life around freedom in a way that that we've been talking about. 2021 was a master's class for a lot of people that had never done something like this before. It was the circumstances of the pandemic that brought this on for a lot of people. And they were able to learn the nuts and bolts of being able to downsize your life, being able to have more with less, and have since taken this in a sort of like a turnkey operation and are applying it in different parts of the world. So with that in mind, what is life design for you? And what advice would you have for listeners that are maybe thinking of taking baby steps into this lifestyle and are thinking of maybe starting to take the road less traveled?
Sure. So I would say I'm a very analytical person. I used to work an analytical job. So I always wanted to take some time off. I was always working stressful jobs and I wanted to take time off. But I knew that I couldn't just quit my job and just do nothing. I wanted to make sure I had a buffer to make sure I was happy not having a job, because I would just stress out if I had nothing. And I give this advice to a lot of people. If you do want to, you have to take baby steps. You have to, for me, it was, I saved up enough to have a quote unquote travel fund. And I was like, I will take time off until I get to about 80% of my travel fund. And then I'll start looking for another job. Or I'll start, by that time, I'll figure out what I really want to do next in life. And because of that, I had a cushion to actually enjoy my time. And I wasn't stressing out about, oh, I need to find a job tomorrow. So for people that are very conservative, that think that they cannot do something like this, I would say it's valid, but you have to set up a plan where you start saving money. So instead of, you know, I never had a fancy car, never had a big house. So it was easy for me to start saving money. And that was my priority. Like, I wanted to be independent of having to work 9 to 5 every day of my life. And yeah, so I saved up for a travel fund and haven't been working for a year and a half. And again, this was mainly because I lived in Mexico, lived in Central America, South America, which is way cheaper than living in the US or living in Western Europe. So it's just, I like to plan everything I do, and that's how I went about doing it.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I'm glad you said you're an analytical person, because I think there's a perception out there that it's kind of really free flowing, like people that, you know, go with the flow and don't plan. But no, actually, something like this requires so much planning.
I completely agree. Like, it's always the image of like, oh, you quit your job, you must be like a happy-go-lucky person. But there was a lot of planning that went into quitting my job and having a lot of time off.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you touched upon the financial plan, the travel fund, and I've been hearing a lot about this movement, which is called FIRE, and is inspired by the book Your Money or Your Life by Vicky Robin and Joe Dominguez. And it stands for Financially Independent Retire Early.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I have. I haven't really looked into it as much.
Well, you've been doing it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's similar, and it can go by different names, but you know, you don't have to. And it just depends on your lifestyle, your personality. So I would say plan for what you have and what you want, and then make, you know, have some steps on how you want to get to what you want.
Yeah. And you've hit on things like, you know, you didn't have a fancy car and then you moved to a country where, you know, the cost of living. So not only were you downsizing and saving in your previous life, then you moved to a country where the cost of living, like Mexico, wasn't expensive. So it's all these little factors that start adding up.
Exactly. Like instead of paying $25 for a dinner, I was paying $25 for 7 days of dinner in Mexico.
Wow.
It's a lot of lifestyle choices that make this up. I'm still pretty privileged to have had a good education and a good job, but I think it's very doable. It's not something that you have to be a trust fund baby or things like that. Like people have a lot of people that have not done it before think we're just lucky and things just come to us. But I think a lot of it is a lot of planning and sacrificing.
And that you've put in so much of your life into that stressful job and you've navigated the 9-to-5 structure for years. And now you've put yourself in a position that it's paying off.
Yeah, for sure. And this was something I always wanted to do. So I was, in a way, fine doing a 9-to-5 job so I could save up money and take some time off in the future. But I also didn't want to leave it for too far in the future. So based on where I was in my career, I thought it would be a good opportunity to take some time off, but then also jump back in if I wanted to, because there is a demand and there is a market for it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we're having this discussion about lifestyle design. I've really been confronted with this on this trip back to Canada. It's been 3 years since I've been back, 5 years since I've lived here, and especially after this Mexico experience. You know, it comes down to what kind of lifestyle do you want? Do you really need that fancy coffee? Do you really need that designer brand? Or like you said, do you need that fancy car? Once you start cutting down those wants out of your life, you discover that you can do more with less. And maybe financial freedom is something that can be achieved at a much younger age.
For sure. And it also is, like you mentioned, like very small things. Like, do you really have to get a Starbucks every day? Or can you just make your own coffee? Do you have to have 10 pairs of water shoes, or can you do with 3?
Yeah.
So just small things like that, which can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. In my previous life, it was the blazer. And before every sales convention, I think I need to get a new one. And it was kind of like having a body armor. That was what my blazer collection was about. And before this, I was living in Dublin. So now one of my friends has my collection of blazers in a luggage, probably like in an extra storage room and in a shed somewhere.
Exactly. It's funny because I know people on the podcast won't be able to see this, but the t-shirt I'm wearing, someone mentioned the other day that I was the first time they met me 2 years ago, I was wearing the same shirt. And I was like, yeah, it's, you know, why would I throw it away? It's still fine.
Yes, that's right. So being in Mexico, I'm so accustomed to my playa uniform, right, which is basically a shirt and shorts. And I wasn't originally planning to stay in Canada this late into September. So I've basically had to apply my playa approach to my Canada approach. Which basically means doing more with less. And so, yes, the strategy, this downsizing can apply to clothing as well.
Yep, yep. Completely agree.
And that brings us to the conclusion of our first half with GP. In next week's episode, 1 week from today, we'll chat about GP's extraordinary experience conquering El Camino de Santiago, also known as the Way of St. James. You can find GP on Instagram at searching for Shangri-La, and you can connect with our online community on Instagram at My Most Authentic Life Podcast. Remember that if you're enjoying these podcasts, please give us a rating and a review. So that's today's episode. Have an amazing day, and remember to keep on living. Time on.